Hello and welcome to the Institute Talks, the Institute's very own podcast channel, keeping you at the heart of the conversation on all things apprenticeships and technical education.
Hi, I'm Jamila Simpson, the Multiverse Community Programmes and Networks Associate. I joined Multiverse early last year after completing my digital marketing qualification as an apprentice at Google. I'm also an apprentice panel member and your host for this podcast. Today we're joined by Joel. Joel, did you want to quickly intro yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Joel. I'm doing a Chartered Manager degree apprenticeship at Microsoft. Been doing it for a couple of years now. Like Jamila, I've been a member of the apprentice panel for about a year now.
Oh, I think we joined around the same time on the panel. I joined around March, April last year.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right for me as well.
Cool. So your apprenticeship sounds really interesting. What made you decide to do a degree apprenticeship?
Well, before I was doing my apprenticeship, I was at university. So doing the apprenticeship was much more, honestly, is much more about leaving university than anything else. I decided that uni wasn't for me and I wanted to get into work and sort of start just getting on with, you know, gaining some skills and getting some experience. And so the degree apprenticeship thing came about as sort of, I was just exploring and seeing what was out there, came across Microsoft's degree apprenticeship, and it seemed like a great option to tick that degree box whilst I was getting all my other experience.
Amazing. And you briefly mentioned that you went to university for a year before. What made you change your mind and go down the apprenticeship route instead?
Yeah, so for me, university wasn't like an amazing experience. You know, it was an okay time. It was fun, don't get me wrong. And I wanted to, you know, get a job afterwards and do real work, not study the subject for the rest of my life. So it didn't seem like I was getting much out of it. So I found that coming across an apprenticeship, and it just seemed like such a better option. Like by the time I sort of decided to do it, it just seemed like such a no-brainer, really. I wanted to be working. I wanted to be gaining real skills and applying the stuff that I learned in the real world. It just seemed like such an obvious decision to me by the time it got around to doing it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I didn't really want to like sit and listen to a lecturer for hours and hours on end. I kind of just wanted to get into working, and even though I never had a job before my apprenticeship, I just knew that I wanted to get into the workplace. So it seems like we have similar like ways of thinking about why we chose an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And Microsoft is a pretty big deal. It's a global, a massive company. Did you always want to work at a company like Microsoft?
So Microsoft came onto my radar because it was close to the town where I was doing university. And it was quite important to me that I sort of held on to those university friends and could sort of keep that life going without having to completely restart in a city. So that's sort of what brought it onto my radar in the first place. In doing that, I was looking at graduate schemes and all sorts of things I could do after my degree. And then I came across the apprenticeship scheme, and it was sort of like, okay, why wouldn't I start right now? And then, you know, from that, I started digging into Microsoft as a company a little bit more and exploring what those options were. And I was just so impressed with what I saw. There's, you know, a lot of tech companies out there at the moment, which, you know, are getting in the news for all the wrong reasons. And I think Microsoft's sort of commitment to trust and ethics and, transparency and reliability, all these good things, was really a sort of refreshing thing to see from a big tech company. There's a huge amount they've done since I started my apprenticeship around, you know, sustainability and all this good stuff. That's just kind of inspiring to see this big company using its resources, using its power to influence for the better. Big fan of Microsoft.
Sounds like an amazing place to work. I'm just curious because I worked at Google, and that's also quite a big company. What was it like working at Microsoft, like as an employee? Were there a lot of employee benefits, and what was your day-to-day kind of like?
It can be a bit mixed. On the one hand, it can be, you know, it's incredibly exciting. I think our talent lead always describes it as being like in a candy store. There's all these opportunities around you. There's these hundreds and hundreds of people that are willing to help you, support you, give you opportunities, you know, give you stuff to do. And at a point, you've got to like rein yourself in and be like, okay, I need to just pick a few things that I really want to do. So it's just, yeah, full of opportunities, which is amazing. It's almost a bit of a shock at first. I think when you sort of get in, you see like the numbers and you see the sort of accounts these people are working on, and it's like, wow, this is like important stuff that's happening here. And sort of from the beginning, they don't you know, there's no, you know, being the tea and coffee guy. It's all sort of real work right from the start. And it's sort of, it's quite a lot of pressure, and it's quite a lot of, you know, quick adapting to the environment. But, you know, I loved that. I joined the company because I wanted to do something real and impactful. And I certainly got given that chance.
Yeah, I know it can be quite overwhelming to go into such a big company, and you kind of have senses of imposter syndrome because you think of yourself as just an apprentice, but really you're there for a reason. And that's something that I learned throughout the first couple months of me starting, that I was there for a reason and I was chosen to work in the team that I was working in. I'm assuming that you plan on progressing within Microsoft once you've finished your apprenticeship. Is there any like promise that you'll get a job after, like you'll stay in your role? Have you heard anything so far?
So we don't have any guarantee of a role afterwards, just because Microsoft's such a, you know, it's such a big company. There's only a limited number of roles available. And obviously it's a very popular place to work. I'm there for 4 years, and you meet people along the way that are happy to support you in your career. So there's certainly opportunities to move it, to stick around at Microsoft. But at the same time, Microsoft's part of a vast like partner network, and there's so many different connections you can make at Microsoft to different organizations. They're sort of very keen for us to explore different avenues and opportunities and see what's out there really, rather than being sort of stuck to that one place for the rest of our career. So, you know, I've got 2 years left of my apprenticeship. I'm still figuring out what I want to do next, but I'm certainly going to have a good look around and see what's out there.
Yeah, 2 years is still a long time to make any decisions, so you've definitely got the time to think about it. Just curious, did you start your apprenticeship before the lockdown hit the UK?
Yeah. So I've been there for 2 years now. So I've had a good amount of time in the office. I do feel for the apprentices that started in the lockdown, though. It's a tough way to join a company.
Yeah, how have you been coping with working from home since almost a year now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as a company, we adapted pretty quickly, just because we were sort of used to doing flexible working and days at home and things like that. But it was obviously an adjustment for everyone. It's definitely, I miss the change of scenery in the office. And we had a few weeks when everything started easing up that we were sort of allowed back in, which was great. But, you know, we've adapted, we're getting on with it. And we actually managed to deliver like an amazing onboarding experience for our latest cohort of apprentices, all virtual. We had some amazing guest speakers for them, and they all engaged with it incredibly. So it's an adaptation, but it's a sort of challenge that we're all quite happy to rise to and see what we can come up with to sort of address these different needs.
Yeah. You mentioned onboarding there. I'm interested to know, what was your onboarding like when you first joined Microsoft as an apprentice?
Yeah, so I mean, when onboarding is something at Microsoft that's really evolved over the last few years. So when I joined, we had a week of onboarding. We learned about the company, the culture, the values, about the sort of journey that Microsoft's been on, because it's not always been this sort of incredible company to work at in the past. It's been quite difficult, competitive, internally and externally. But sort of lately, it's been a huge focus on growth mindset and working together. So we learned a lot about that journey, just to sort of understand where Microsoft is at now. So that was, you know, a really helpful thing to sort of learn about, is that, look, you're not going to be expected to be this know-it-all who knows everything and be the smartest person in the room at all times. But you actually are sort of more expected to be this learn-it-all person who can walk into a room and ask 1,000 questions and learn from every single one, and, you know, learn from every mistake you make. I quite often say that, like, you know, as an apprentice, my job is to make mistakes and to, you know, screw it up and get it wrong. And if I learn from each time I do that, then I'm going to come out of it like so much better off and in a, you know, really strong position in my career, because I'll have learned an absolute ton.
Yeah, when I was doing my apprenticeship, I was so scared to even ask questions if I didn't know something. But I just kind of learned, I don't know everything, and it's best if I learn from my team and the people around me. So you kind of had that advantage going into a workplace as an apprentice. You can make those mistakes. Cool. So I just want to move on to the topic of the apprentice panel that we're both on. Why did you decide to join it?
Well, I think as much as apprenticeships are amazing and are a great opportunity, I think there's still a huge amount of work to do to reach their full potential. So I wanted to join because I really wanted to, you know, get in a room with these people that have this, you know, big influence and sort of a lot of power in the apprentice community, and really just challenge them to be aspirational about sort of the standard of apprenticeships that, you know, that they're delivering. You know, like just last week, I was able to deliver a set of recommendations to the Institute's board about their new strategic plan. And we're, you know, encouraging them to include ethical practice in all of their apprenticeship standards in future. So like any apprentice working with customers should, you know, learn to accommodate the needs of someone with learning disabilities, or, you know, learn how to use the pronouns for trans and non-binary folks. And like, this is the kind of thing that we really want to just push to be, to get employers to think, okay, yes, I want to fill these skills and sort of get these employees, but what more can I do, and what more can these people bring to my organization? Because apprentices have such a unique perspective of being completely new to the world of work quite often, and just having this outside view that can actually really challenge these senior people. And I think if there's this audience that can listen and be open to it, then you can have a huge impact as an apprentice.
Yeah, it sounds like you're clearly very passionate about like driving social change and continuing to improve apprentices. And it can be quite daunting, but empowering, especially if you're like presenting to a board, but you know that you're making change. So that's the part that I really like about being on the apprentice panel as well, is just making change and seeing that outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, after a while, you get used to the fact that these are just people, like, whether they're like CEOs of these huge companies, like, they're just people, and it's okay to challenge them and, you know, question them and not take everything they say to be, you know, gospel.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning experience.
Absolutely. I think it's also worth mentioning that sort of through Microsoft, I've had some really incredible opportunities to go beyond my job role. So I sit on the board of Microsoft UK's LGBT plus community, which means I get to support some really amazing events that we've put on. So, you know, just last year in December, we did an event for Trans Awareness Week, where we had some trans employees talking about their experiences. And just seeing the employees sort of engage with it and respond to it is always incredible. Just last week, we had the BBC's first LGBT plus correspondent join us for an event. And, you know, again, we had over like 300 attendees all engaging with it, all learning from it, talking about privilege and intersectionality, which has just been amazing to see. And just having that opportunity is amazing. It's not something I ever would have got if I hadn't done my apprenticeship, to have this much sort of impact and learn from all these other people around me. So that's been a really incredible thing to do.
Wow, I think diversity and inclusion and well-being are really important aspects for any company, but it sounds like the opportunities outside of your day-to-day role is absolutely amazing as well. So, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, as much as a company can talk about profit margins and making more money and growing and everything, like, that's great, but there's so much more work to do in the diversity and inclusion space, in the well-being space. Like, there's a huge amount of work still to do, and if we just sort of keep doing it and keep pushing it, then we will get there. And I think apprentices, with their new perspectives and with their outside views, can really just make some real changes there.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also reflected in our best practice handbook, because wellbeing is actually one of the five sections that we're working on. So I think you're working on the onboarding part of it, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's sort of drawing on some experience I've had at Microsoft, because our onboarding experience is sort of led by apprentices for apprentices. So the last couple of years, I've been part of a team that ran that onboarding process, and we've, you know, evolved it over that time to include things like, you know, diversity and inclusion and, you know, well-being. Because we're quite conscious that for a lot of apprentices, it's not just onboarding into a company, it's onboarding into a whole career. So we're trying to figure out what foundations are going to set these people up to be really impactful, whatever organization they end up in. You know, great, we want to have that impact at Microsoft, but, you know, wherever they go in their careers, we want to have that really strong foundation of ethics and culture and, you know, sense of self and bringing themselves to work. So that was really amazing to see. And as far as the best practice guide goes, you know, eventually looping back to your question, we hope that it's going to be a high standard for employers and training providers to work towards. Because once you've got that sort of this thing to aspire to, you can see where you're at in that journey. You can always work back from it to say, okay, these are the steps we need to take to get to this sort of higher standard. And hopefully that'll really work to keep the quality of apprenticeships continuing to improve and really just challenging people to raise their standards.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing it all come together over the next few weeks. And my company, Multiverse, we're actually an apprenticeship training provider. So we'll have like direct, we'll be able to be impacted by it, but also influence it as well with best practice case studies and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm just really excited about it all. It's a brilliant initiative that the panel is working on, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we're probably going to try and do some of the same stuff with Microsoft, taking what we've learned with the onboarding process and just sort of putting it in there as a case study of, look, here's what you can do, and it works really well.
Yeah. Cool. And what do you want to achieve being on the apprentice panel? I think you kind of touched on it before, but like, what's your top two goals, let's say?
I mean, I'd say look, number one goal you sort of mentioned is that social change thing. You know, we've got 700,000 apprentices around the country, all at like hundreds, even thousands of employers. If every single one of them can have the skills and the confidence to be able to speak up and, you know, have that impactful conversation about whether it's diversity and inclusion, whether it's about well-being or just, you know, sustainability, for example, like if we can get every single apprentice in the country to do something good and influence upwards in their organizations, we can have a huge impact like across the country, which to me is like a really inspiring thought, just like all these apprentices out there doing some good. But yeah, the other priority for me is making sure that apprentice voices are heard. Because I think as much as there's, you know, 700,000 of us, it can be quite scattered around the place. You know, you've got apprentices that are the only apprentice at their employer. I'm in quite a fortunate position. There's about 100 of us at Microsoft who can sort of, you know, speak to each other and stuff. But I think if we can make an effort to really unify those voices and, you know, like we've done with our survey last year and hopefully we'll do again with our survey this year, it's just gather those perspectives of apprentices so that we can present them to the people with influence. Say, actually, this is what apprentices want. This is where apprentices aren't getting what they want, and this is what they need. And this is how we can make improvements that are actually going to affect the lives of apprentices rather than just meeting the expectations of employers, because they're not always the same thing.
Yeah, so we're working not just for like your personal apprenticeship experience, but also for the 700, did you say? 700,000 apprentices across the UK. That's an amazing number. I didn't even know it was that many. And my final question to you, Joel, is have you got any advice for people thinking about doing an apprenticeship?
Just do it. When in doubt, do an apprenticeship. You know, like I've tried the university thing. It wasn't for me. A lot of people, I think, assume apprenticeships are for people who know exactly what they want to do and sort of have a really set career goal. But that's not the case at all. I sort of started my apprenticeship with no idea what I wanted to do. I just thought it seemed like a great opportunity. It seemed like a way out of university. And over time, I'm sort of figuring out the bits of work that really give me energy and that, you know, I really enjoy doing. So now through my apprenticeship, I'm narrowing down my options of what sort of jobs I want to go for. So if you have no idea what you want to do, do an apprenticeship. If you have a great idea of what you want to do, pick an apprenticeship that fits that and follow that through, and you'll be doing it much sooner than if you start at university and have to wait 3 years. So, you know, give it a go, get started, do an apprenticeship.
Thank you. I really, when I was a student doing my A-levels, I really needed that voice saying, if you're not sure what you want to do, do an apprenticeship and don't go down the uni route just because everyone else is doing it, because I felt that pressure of needing to do what everyone else was doing because my teachers wanted me to do it, my friends wanted me to do it, but luckily my family was supportive in me doing an apprenticeship instead. So that's great words of advice. But thank you. That's all we have time for in today's episode. I want to say a huge thank you to our guest today, Joel, for taking the time to tell us about your apprenticeship experience and being so open and honest with me today. Thanks for listening and look out for our next episode. Bye.